Mina de Malfoy and the Young Blood, Part 3. We didn't get a chance to really converse much, but over the next little while it became something of a habit of Prince C's to shoot me a picture every evening. I was building up quite the collection. Not, I hasten to add, that I mean that as any kind of a complaint. To say the guy was easy on the eyes is to understate the matter dreadfully. The average teenage girl has her bedroom walls strewn with posters of various male specimens, and the majority of said specimens, I put it to you, couldn't compete in the eye candy semi-finals against Prince C without taking lethal body blows to their respective egos. He had, I noted, a promiscuous approach to fandom. According to the photographic evidence, he'd appeared in full goth garb at the Bloodsy Fampfest, in wizard's robes at Wands Across the West, and in a spandex concoction I couldn't quite manage to describe at Kawaii Con. I began to sense that con organisers must have him on speed dial so as not to create conflicts in his schedule. He'd graced pretty much everything going with his appropriately clad presence. If he ever decided to make the theatre his career, chances were he'd find it restful, because there'd be fewer costume changes. So I'd spend blissful hours at a stretch either playing Sanguinity, or, more often, creating my elaborate backstory for the dashing Lord Henri Antoine Silvestre de Gravina to inhabit. And when I emerged, there'd usually be a picture of the also somewhat dashing Prince C awaiting my perusal. Not a bad existence, all in all. The evening I submitted my introductory chapter to Penned Passion, a process that took forever as I lost my nerve at the last minute and reread the fic 3 times before I was convinced it was error-free, then had to reload the entire submission form and start the process from the beginning, was no exception. The picture, however, was exceptional indeed. I'm not sure what prompted Prince C to decide to advance our relationship, but clearly something had. He had determined, I saw at a glance, that it was time for further intimacy. Our friendship, he obviously felt, was due to lengthen, deepen. I mean deepen. Because when I, Vic, finally submitted and self ready for bath and then bed, opened his email, what greeted my astonished eyes was a candid shot of Prince C in the altogether. His costume, I mean to say, was nil. A bare expanse of male flesh was exposed to my riveted gaze. I didn't know what to think of this, but I thought it energetically, without room to spare to think of anything else for quite some time. Such was my state of distraction that I may have washed my face with the hair goop and conditioned my hair with face goop. I noticed, climbing into bed, that my face felt untangled and my hair unwrinkled, but I didn't really pay it much heed, because, as I said, naked man flesh. Extremely attractive, smooth, silken man flesh. And the man it belonged to, I had reason to know, capable of gallant and nearly rational conversation. A fine subject for study and contemplation, all in all. But eventually, of course, the initial daze wore off, and so, a day or two later, I found myself again wondering whether Prince C, gentlemanly though he was in his day-to-day conduct, might not be some species of escaped lunatic. I put it to you. Do sane men present their online acquaintance with nude photos? I suspect not. It seemed a rash and reckless act on his part. I couldn't make up my mind whether I ought to be gloating over my acquisition of an internet suitor, or cringing over the appearance on the horizon of a sort of madman. I decided on consultation. "Ark," I messaged her breezily, "do you have a moment? I want your opinion on something." "Your fic's still under review, but reports are favourable," she assured me. "Well, this was good news, but not what I was after." "No, not that," I told her. "There's this guy."
"What guy?" she asked.
"This one," I said. "Hang on, I'm sending you a picture." and I emailed her the snap of Prince C in his pirate garb, having wisely decided that springing the nude photo on her at this juncture would be unnecessarily startling. There was a pause, and then she asked, "What are you doing with a picture of Eva Hamill's son?"
"Who?" I asked, bewildered.
I'd known, or I would have known if I'd given the matter any thought, that Prince C presumably had a mother, but I hadn't expected Ark to rattle off the mater's name like that. I know Ark is well informed, but really, this was ridiculous.
"Eva Hamill," she repeated. "Eva runs one of the Trek archives."
"What, really?" I asked, amazed. "Bit old for that, wouldn't she be?"
"She's in her middle 30s, Ark answered, and for some reason I fancied I could feel a slight chill emanating from the screen.
"She can't be," I protested. "Not and be this guy's mother."
"She most certainly is," Ark said firmly. "I knew her at school." I saw at once what had happened.
"No, listen, you have it wrong," I explained kindly. I didn't want to make her feel badly, but she had obviously slipped up. "This isn't Eva whatever's son. It can't be. You must have mistaken him for someone he looks like." She argued the point, but I was sure I saw what had happened. Get to a certain age, and everybody's son looked more or less alike, probably. Still, it left me with a slight feeling of not concern exactly. I wouldn't go so far as to say concern, but I was uneasy.
"So, what do you think of university?" I asked Prince C casually the next time I caught him online.
"I'm looking forward to it," he responded. "All frank, open honesty, damn him."
My innards sort of froze over, if you know the feeling. He was in his last year of high school then. Not his last year of a university degree, or his last year of some other adult pursuit. Damn.
And speaking of adult pursuits, I had a nude photo of this young man saved to my hard drive. I felt a sense of shame creep over me, which wasn't fair, since this whole misunderstanding was his fault entirely. But I had had a strict upbringing, and it told against me now. I blushed to think that I had even looked at the dratted photograph. I would have felt highly indignant if I hadn't been busy feeling other things like complicit and perverse and embarrassed. I mean, really, I'd been hard done by. I was the wronged party here. I hadn't asked for his photographs, had I? He'd sent them to me with no encouragement from this end. Where did he get off? Actually, scratch that last question. That's not the sort of thing I want to dwell on. I blame Trek fandom for unleashing their ghastly youngsters on an unsuspecting public. If they spent less time swanning around in costume and running fanfiction archives of dubious morality, and more time attending to the upbringing of their own next generation, this sort of thing wouldn't happen. It was clear to me in retrospect that this young man had been raised in a lax setting rife with turpitude and debauchery. I'd heard what went on at cons. I glared indignantly at his photographs. That a youth of such tender years should already be cutting a swathe through fandom. These young fans, I tell you, should be observed cautiously and at a safe distance. I checked my email cautiously, wary that it might contain further youthful exposures, and found it filled to the brim.
"Pornography!" began the first one I opened, and for one awful moment it felt as if my inbox was somehow reflecting the state of my soul back to me, like that pathetic fallacy syndrome I learned about either in lit class or intro psych, I forget which. But I quickly saw that this must be in response to my fic, and not to any online dalliances I may or may not have been toying with conducting.
"Ah, good, the fic was up then."
"You fascist! You racist! You degenerate pervert!" cried the next three comments I opened at random. Yes, the fic was definitely up. I breezed through my inbox, keeping a running tally on a scrap of paper, and was delighted to see that the "This is the most erotic, romantic, well-written fanfiction I'd ever read" crowd were outnumbering the "This is immoral, unnatural drivel" faction. All to the good, then. I basked, yet again, in the glow of internet fame.
The comments are flooding in on "at his lordship's behest," I mentioned to Ark a few days later. "I hate to tear you away from the review boards," she said, "but there are 2 one-shots in the submission queue awaiting your editorial input." "And no doubt there will soon be many more," I assured her cheerily. "I expect At His Lordship's Behest to spark a renaissance of sanguinity fanfiction." Wait, did I mean renaissance? Could you have a renaissance in an entirely new fandom? "It's too early to tell yet," Ark said, "but I expect we'll get a surge of sanguinity submissions, judging by the number of people reading and reviewing the 2 epic introductions." I was taken aback by this news. 2? I inquired suspiciously. "That would be mine and another one, then." "I assumed you knew all about it," she responded. "Ah, yes, quite," I said, baffled, but with well-concealed bafflement. "Absolutely, yes. What I wondered was what you thought of this secondary epic. What's your opinion of it so far?" I'd never heard of the blasted thing, but I didn't like to say so. "It complements yours nicely," Ark said. "It's ambitious, but by all reports he's very talented." And with that she rang off. It was with some degree of trepidation that I headed over to Dread Lane, PP Sanguinity section, to check out this rival epic. When I say rival, I'm speaking broadly, of course, because it would be nonsensical to imagine that some fan brat was capable of launching a multi-chaptered work that could pose any kind of threat or serious competition to my own planned work. The very idea was laughable. I laughed now, hollowly, but left off quickly. Really, I was only even checking the recent submissions out of a kind of mild, condescending curiosity as to whether the so-called epic was being written by a Booter or a Samich. It wasn't hard to find. There were only 2 fics listed under book-length fiction. One was mine. The other was Of Vice and Velvet by Prince C. I clicked on it, and brief moments later sat in stunned silence, apart from the pounding of my heart and the occasional involuntary gasp of shock. It wasn't just his masterful handling of the subject matter that shocked me, although certainly he had a level of skill I hadn't expected from one so young. It wasn't just his original female character, Lady Horatia Mariana Wilhelmina de Malfoy, crack shot and seasoned sailor, shown in his introduction in her elaborate bedchamber. It was, in point of fact, the dedication. "Dedicated with devoted affection to Mina de Malfoy," it proclaimed, "whose fiction inspires and moves me, and who haunts my fondest and most private dreams." I boggled.